Guys, this is my first time preaching here in Warrnambool, so I'm a little bit nervous. I've got 5 points, and the fifth point is going to blow your mind, so make sure you stay tuned until the very end. Please hit that like and subscribe button there, Andre. I'm going to start with a little story, guys. It's a story about cathedrals. Who knows what a cathedral is? It's that. That is a cathedral. These were giant church buildings that were built throughout the Middle Ages across Europe. Who's been into like a European cathedral? Hands up, all right. When you step into that thing, you get this sense of awe. The roof is super high. They were built to become the highest structures in the whole city. In fact, that's the difference between a town and a city. Is a cathedral. If there's a cathedral in there, it's now called a city. They became these icons, these monuments of civilization, of religion, of power. There was some bad stuff that went down, but in general, they were these relics that took generations to build. Somebody would start, and they would die, and they wouldn't even see the thing completed yet. In fact, there's one still busy being built right now in our lifetime. It's called the Sagrada Familia. Who's been to that one? A couple of hands are going up here. That is a cathedral in Spain, and it got started in the 1800s. It's still busy being built right now. There's literally construction guys busy painting the windows of the Sagrada Familia in Spain. That's how long it takes to build a cathedral. And they tower above the skyline. They're meant to be these beautiful, awe-inspiring buildings. And one of them burnt down once upon a time. It burnt down in a great fire of London. So in the 17th century, this fire swept across the whole of London, and St. Paul's Cathedral got caught up in it, and it burnt to the ground. And this thing was built in like 1000 AD. So it stood for thousands of years and then burnt to the ground. So they hired an architect. His name was Sir Christopher Wren. He was the greatest architect that lived in London at that time, and they put him in charge of rebuilding St. Paul's Cathedral. Legend has it that one day he went walking through the construction site, and he was just looking at what everyone's busy doing, because there's hundreds and hundreds of people that are there. You've got carpenters, and you've got artists, and you've got stone cutters, and you've got leather makers, and painters and glass blowers, and it's a village, literally, like a whole village is built. And he comes across two stone cutters, the ones right in front of him. And he looks at this guy, and this guy looks exhausted. His face is downcast, he's tired. Basically, he looks like he wants to give up. And so Sir Christopher Wren says, "What are you doing?" And the guy's like, "I'm cutting stones. I've been cutting stones for 18 years. Every day, I pick up a stone. I follow the template. I cut the stone. I take my hammer, and I break off the rough pieces, and my hands get hurt, and my back is broken, and I'm cutting stones." And Christopher Wren walks around the corner, and he sees the other stonemason. But there's something different about this guy. His face is envisioned. He's looking up. And Christopher goes, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm building a cathedral. I'm building a cathedral." They had the exact same task, the exact same sweat and back-breaking labor, but it was about perspective. The one guy, let's see if we can get a spare battery up and running. We seem to have a little red light flashing here. Thank you, sir. The second guy, thank you. Thank you, Honor. The second guy saw what his life was contributing towards, a monument. Something that for generations people would come and they would stand in awe inside this cathedral, and they would gaze upon the beautiful stained glass windows. And when you're inside that thing, I'll tell you guys, you feel this small. If you've stood inside a cathedral, you feel minute compared to what's all around you. And the second guy saw that. This morning, that's what we're going to talk about. And I'm so motivated that God wants us to see what he's building, and he wants every part of our life to be infused with purpose and meaning so that suddenly it all makes sense. Like, his plan and his purpose for us on this planet is seen through his lens. And when that happens, it envisions you so you don't burn out like the first guy who's this close from giving up. In fact, you can cut stones your whole life because you know you're not just cutting stones. You're building the cathedral of God. And we've heard the phrase, the temple of God. It's all across Scripture. And the temple is the same thing as a cathedral. And God speaks about that quite a lot. We are living stones being shaped together. We're going to speak about the how. How do we build that? The who, and then the why. So, how do we build God's cathedral? And I want to go back to some of these prophetic words that were happening this morning, which were amazing. There was one from Christine Turan about the small little whispers of God, and there was a flow here about small things linking to big things. God's cathedral is built in the small moments. We often think in our faith, in our Christian faith, we think, oh, I've just got to go on an outreach to George, and then I'm going to be used by God. Or I've just got to be preaching, or I've got to be leading worship, or these limelight moments, these big things. That's how I get used by God. That's how my life is going to count. Those are good things. And yes, you are being used by God in those moments. But if that's all you're living for, most of your life you're going to feel like was a waste. You're not going to find the reward of cutting that stone and seeing that it's actually building towards God's cathedral. I've got a couple of examples of the small that showcase for me, man, this person wasn't just doing that thing. They were building a cathedral. Dan, last week, Dan Morrison, during the service, sat outside. I took this photograph over there. And he just was a listening ear for Andre. I don't know what you guys spoke about. But Bruce, I was there at the back with my kids, and I watched you. And I watched Andre. And for the longest time, you were just listening. It's having a good conversation. He was listening, and maybe Andre needed an ear in that moment. But Dan wasn't just listening. He was building a cathedral. He was contributing to the eternal. Then, that's Cornet. This is on Wednesday night at our house doing worship. Cornet with her beautiful child under a blanket in the cold, trying to catch a break and join us for worship. She came out of the dark cave that the moms are in, and she's like, what's happening out here? And she stood there, and she was trying to worship, but I mean, if you have small kids, you know that it's basically impossible to stand still and do anything for longer than 30 seconds without having to be distracted. But she tried, and she was there, and she was with us, and she contributed. And you know what you were doing, Kone? You were building a cathedral. You were exposing the little one. You were momming. You were doing what you were meant to be doing, and you were doing it unto the Lord. Then Josh Miller. I couldn't find a more recent photograph of you, Josh. Where are you? So imagine this is a photograph of Josh driving in his car. Okay, just imagine that. Instead of having a picnic for our home group. A couple of months ago, we ended off church, and then I got a message from Leandri. Where's Leah? There we are. Saying, hey, my car's broken down. I'm on the side of the road. I'm on the freeway in Claremont. Can you, like, help? And I couldn't. I was unavailable. And most of our guys in our whole home group were unavailable. And I'm like, ah, flip, who are we going to get to? And then somehow God just popped Josh Miller's face in my head. And I was like, bro, would you be able to drive across the city to southern suburbs and go and help a sister in need whose car is literally just waiting on the M3? He's like, yeah, no problem. Was it petrol? She ran out of petrol. I've ousted her. And he went there. He drove across town, guys. He went and filled up a thing of petrol and put it in Leah's car, and he was there for her. And he loved the bride of Christ in that moment. And you weren't just driving your car, bro. You were building a cathedral. You were building a cathedral, Josh. And well done, dude. And then the last example, Ashton. Right now, this man is on an oil rig 200 kilometers off the coast of Angola. He is busy climbing the oil rig, doing visibility inspections. 1 month on, 1 month off. And this guy's heart, Jesus has taken his heart. He's there. He's like in the rough vibes with the oil and the machines. And he's thinking about Christ. He's doing his job. He's brilliant at it. But here's how I know that this God has got his heart. Because when we have home group, he messaged me not so long ago. He's like, bro, I can't make Wednesday. But I want to do something for you guys. We get together, we're having home group, and guess what? The doorbell rings. Check your 6060. Whole bunch of cupcakes from Ashton. How cool is that? That's wild. I'm like, I mean, free cupcakes, first of all. And second of all, he wasn't just sitting on his oil rig being like, oh, I'm not a part of this thing, I'm far away. But God had captivated his heart. And he put that into action, and he went and he ordered 6060 from Angola. And it came, and we got to all enjoy. And you remember, were you guys at that night? I don't know if you were there yet, but it was so rad, guys. And that's not the only, he's done it a couple of times. He's not just ordering 6060 from Angola. He's building a cathedral, and he knows it. And he did it with such love, guys. It's made me want to speak about it this morning. So it's about taking that small moment of changing a nappy, of being an ear to listen to somebody outside, of driving in your car, of taking a meal to someone, of sitting in church right now, sitting here. You could be in a million places, but you are contributing to the kingdom of God, to the cathedral, by listening to the word of God. These are all ways that we end up linking the small with the big, the temporary with the eternal. That's what it's about. A cathedral will last for thousands of years, but there's something else we're working towards that lasts for eternity. And as, I mean, Jesus says that everything we do, if we do it for the Lord, whether word or deed, it is done unto the Lord, and it is worship. So, can we just, point four, can we just do whatever we want, and then it's considered like I'm building a cathedral? Can I just go do anything I want ever? Like, can any human being just do anything? Not quite. Just like these guys, God does give us a construction site, and a blueprint, and a directive in how we do this. Basically, there's a scripture, I'll just read it, I don't know if I gave it to you, but it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. So we've got to be doing what God wants us to do. We've got to do His will and not our will. And there's some scary parts of the Bible, and one of these parts is written in 1 Corinthians 3. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man or woman's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. The key part of this thing, guys, is that there's different ingredients and materials we're going to build with. hay. Imagine trying to build a cathedral with hay. Have you ever gone to like a farm vibe and you're sitting on hay? It's not going to work. It's going to straw, wood. That stuff is going to burn up. But God wants us to build with stones and bricks and precious metals, as we've just seen. And it comes down to obedience and surrender. And I remember a little story of about 7 years ago when I got this wrong. I was married to Christine, didn't have any kids yet, and I wanted to be significant, and I loved travel, and I loved adventure, and I entered a competition. It was called The Best Job on the Planet, where if you won, for 3 months, you would basically go to the wealthiest exclusive Airbnbs around the world, and you'd go and you'd film them, and then like basically you'd make social media videos about those places. I'm talking like penthouses in New York and these things in tropical islands and like really cool spaces. So I was super pumped, and I thought, I'm going to enter this thing. It was a global competition, and you had to make a video. There were 3 rounds. First round, make a video. And there was like some people that had huge amounts of social media followings that were entering. I had like 2,000 people following me, but I was like, cool, I'm going to enter. We all entered because it was about making the best video. But I had this little feeling in my heart that the Lord was saying, this is not for you. And I did it anyway. I was like, I don't know if is that really God? I was like, hold on, let me just try. Made the video, and guess what? What do you think happened? I got through. Round two. Suddenly it's down to 2,000 people from 15K or something in the beginning. And round two, they asked us now to submit a whole like big blog and a lot of written things with photographs. First one was video. Second one was all about, can you write? How's your English? So I was like, yo, this is cool. I'm a good writer. And I went away for Easter weekend with Christine and with the family. And I'm sitting there busy writing my stuff. And they're trying to have like Easter, and we're fighting. And it just wasn't great at all, because Christine was like, why are you on your computer over Easter weekend? I was like, I've got this deadline, Christine. And you don't understand. You don't understand me. And meanwhile, I felt the little voice again from the Lord say, Howie, this is not for you. And I was like, but God, I'm already through the first round. Surely, like, clinks. I'm gonna build my own thing. Submitted it. Guess what happened? 14 people remain. 14 people. And now this is, now they're emailing you directly. They're like, hey, man, we had a call with him. You've done really well. What we need is one more video from you. But here's the clinch. This final video is going to be shared on your personal social media account. And that's how we're going to judge who's going to win, whoever gets the most views. And at that moment, I realized that I was going to lose. And I realized why the Lord said to me, this is not for you. Because I was up against, I mean, the person who won had hundreds and thousands of followers. She like could have made like a photograph of a piece of grass, and it would have got 1 million views, which she did, and she won. And she was talented, actually, this lady from Iceland. I still made the video, went nowhere, because the whole competition at the end was actually not about merit. It was about who's got the biggest following. And I didn't know that, and I was totally hurt in the process and wasted a good couple of months of my life. Had a lot of fights with Christine along the way. And that was me building with hay and straw and wood. It's a bit of a longer example. There's smaller moments of our lives. But any time when we're building out of a place of insecurity, it's not going to bear the fruit God wants. And that's what I was doing. I was like, I want to be somebody. I want to do things. And it failed, guys, because I was building on my own flesh. And we know what that's like. We know the difference when we surrender to the Lord. But we've got to obey the Spirit. That is our sandbox. We've got to, just like those masons, we've got to follow the blueprint that the architect gave. These guys can't suddenly go walk around there and go start knocking some other random house. They're going to be in trouble. So, who do we build with? We've spoken about the how. Small D's, in the Lord, follow the Holy Spirit, obey Him. Who do we build with? That picture's going to just stay there for a while. Don't worry, there's no more pictures coming. There's one last picture, but for now, it's just that's our wallpaper. That one's the last picture. You can go back, Melissa. We can go back to the guys with the hammers. In the day that they are busy creating these cathedrals, they don't have the technology we have today, which is computers and laser measurements and all these cool things you can go click and stuff. They had to build with something else. They would literally take the purest of stone, stone that's kind of A grade, and they would make this stone into a thing that could be measured accordingly, and I'd put it down first on the whole construction site. I would lay this thing first, and it would have pieces going off to the left and to the right. You can pop it on there for us, Melissa. Pieces would go to the one side and to the other side and up. Who knows what that thing's called? That's the cornerstone. That's called the cornerstone. And we've obviously heard the Christian songs about cornerstones. I mean, because that's what God identifies himself as. He says that I am the cornerstone in the scripture. You want to put that up for us there, Melissa? Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, also known as cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. Okay, you can go back to the picture of the cornerstone. But keep that in mind. Keep that last line in mind. So God's here identifying himself as our cornerstone. And this is my challenge to us, guys, is that just like a random block that is on that construction site, it needs to get placed right next to the cornerstone and perfectly aligned. They've got these little plumb lines and these little instruments, and they would put it in there perfectly. And if it's perfect, the next stone gets laid next to it, and next to it, and next to it. And suddenly, you've got a whole base that's secure. And if it's aligned with the cornerstone, that building will go straight up, and it'll go straight to the sides. But if it's not, after a while, it'll start to lean. It'll lean, and this Leaning Tower of Pisa is a famous example of one that didn't fall over, but it will normally fall over, and it'll collapse. So the key here is for our lives to be linked, to be close to Jesus. Just like that cornerstone, we want to make ourselves submitted to God. Put ourselves right next to him and be like, God, you're my cornerstone. Everything I do is for you. I want to submit myself to you. Don't be like a stubborn little stone that wants to, if stones could run away, wants to run away off the construction site. No, leave me alone. Be like a stone in the hands of the mason that gives yourself to be placed on that construction site and align yourself with the master architect, the master builder. Why? This is the why. Why is God building a cathedral? We've spoken about the what. It's in our lives. It's in our small deeds, in our big deeds. It's everything submitted to the Lord. The who is alongside Jesus. But the why. And this is cool. If you can get this, if we can grip this, everything in our lives will be given a new level of meaning. And we sing about this all the time. We sing about why. It's for his glory. It's for his glory. The cathedral is his glory. That's what we're building. The beauty, the magnificence of Christ. He is the cathedral. It's not some random building in Europe. He is the beautiful thing. He is the magnificent one. He is building a thing with himself. And here's for me the wildest part, is that unlike a human architect who searches and finds the perfect stones to put together and make a thing, God uses a different kind of stone. His glory is revealed. Let's hit up that last scripture. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Guys, he builds with broken stones. He builds with weak stones. He's not out there finding perfect stones. He builds with people that have got issues. One of the ways we say that is broken people. But for me, I've said that so many times that it loses the reality. People with issues, that's what he builds with, like me. People with cracks and hang-ups. And because all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Nobody in this room is a perfect stone. At best, we're like some like little chip of that come off the Table Mountain or something, and it's all dirty and moss on it and stuff. And God's like, this I can work with. If it submits itself to him, if it says, take me, I want to be used, then his glory will be revealed. He will boast in our weaknesses. But why does he do that? Because then he gets the glory. If he's just using perfect stones, perfect people, there's no glory for him. But actually, he chooses to use all of us. He used Divan. He uses Rice. He uses Dan. He uses all of us in this room to build something that is going to last for eternity, to build a picture of a cathedral that is going to make thousands and millions of people get a glimpse of what he's like. His ways are different than ours. His mercy triumphs judgment. That's the rest of that scripture. His ways are different, are higher than ours, for his mercy triumphs over judgment. He wants to use you even more, guys. Everybody in this room, he wants to completely occupy every little fiber of your being, of your life, and use you for his glory. Build you into something that when people, when the eternal, when the heavenly realms, they look at it and they say, we don't understand. We don't understand that you, how you're doing this, that you're using these people. And God goes, that's the whole point. That's what grace is. That little scripture that I pulled up earlier where it said, the stone, unless the stone, let me read it again quickly. He who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. Jesus is the stone. And guys, either way, that stone is impacting our lives. We have two choices. Either right now and every day that we are alive, we let the stone fall on us. Wait, no, we fall on the stone. We choose now. I'm going to fall. I'm going to fall down on your stone, God. I'm going to be broken. I'm going to offer myself to be broken by you, before you, shattered and then used. Break my ego. Break my insecurities. Break my fears. Break my fears of what people are going to think about me and my desire to go and do things that are not what you've called me to do. Break me, God. Break me before you. Because the alternative is far scarier. There is going to come a day when a stone is going to fall on every single human being alive. That day is going to come. And when that stone falls on us, it crushes us. There's no escaping then. There's no rebuilding then. You're crushed. That is the stone of judgment day, guys. When God says, okay, the cathedral has been built. These are the stones that are left out. I'm going to fall on them now, and they're going to be crushed. And my glory will be revealed even in that time. It'll be revealed in that moment as well, because I'm a perfect judge. But now he's got something else for us. We can come to him again and say, God, I don't want to be crushed one day. I want to be broken now and used in your beautiful temple. I've been going through this process a lot lately of daily falling onto the stone. And it's glorious. It hurts. But it's glorious. It's worth it. That is what it's all about. Being part of something much bigger than our lives.